We turn our attention to something hyper-local, but also a universal issue. I'm going to spend some time here on our Mentis Mindful Mondays program, talking with Police Chief Steve Potter, and the focus is on law enforcement and dealing with people in crisis and mental health issues. And Chief Potter, welcome to the show.
Good to see you again, Barry. Hey, before we start, I have to ask, what's on tap up at the theater there for you? That's a plug.
Well, we have one more weekend, two performances of Scream Queens coming up on Friday and Saturday.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Have to try to get there.
Please do. If you need a laugh, that's the thing to see. So back to where we were. Let's talk about what happened last week with law enforcement and the young man who was in crisis out there on the Trancas Overcrossing Bridge. So many situations that we hear about in the news, not locally, but just nationally, just in general, that involve police have negative outcomes these days. We hear about shootings every day of the week, it seems like. In this case, we saw a completely different example where it appeared that a lot of patience and a moderate, easygoing approach was applied to a situation that could have gone haywire real quickly, right?
Yeah, several years ago, we had a kind of a negative outcome, not kind of, but definitely a negative outcome on an incident with a mental health base to it. So we made a commitment, and if you remember about 3 years ago when I took over as chief, we committed to training all of our field units in the crisis intervention training program and or team approach. What we did is I got it. Back up just a little bit. Most large agencies have a team of people that they're able to assign that are on duty that go deal with somebody who's exhibiting signs of mental health crisis. And that small group goes out, they take over the situation, and they deal with it. In Napa, we're not large enough to have a team assigned to respond to that. So we made the commitment to train all of our field units, and we've done that. We have a couple new officers who are still waiting to go, but really what we try to practice now, and I think it has paid off in more than just the overcrossing incident, but we try to slow the situation down, really use time to our side, and then create space so that we're not forcing an issue with somebody. And we've had very good outcomes with just about all of our incidents. It's not to say that they all come out that way, but for the most part, we've been very successful. We also deploy differently at those type situations so that we aren't just going in with uniformed police officers with guns trying to address the issue. We try to use a much more thoughtful approach.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about the training, the crisis intervention training, what's involved with that? How much time is invested into it, and what kind of approach does the training take?
So there are different levels of the training that you can go to, and different agencies use different amounts of time. You can do an 8, a 16, a 24, a 32, or a 40-hour course. We send most of our people to the 40, and we've been very fortunate to partner up with Napa County's Mental Health to be a portion of that. So it's really more of a team approach. Our probation department, the sheriff's department, we're all putting people through the program and or instructing the course. And it's to learn a little bit about what are the different types of mental health diagnoses. Anyway, so learning a little bit about that, learning how to approach people, really, again, going back to the creating space, slowing things down concept, and it's been very, very beneficial. Most of our cops immediately saw a better response from the people that they were dealing with who were in crisis, and they came back and they're very happy when things come out in a positive way.
You know, clearly, one of the big differences in this most recent situation was there were the person having the crisis didn't have a weapon of any kind and was not threatening anyone else, right?
Correct.
And that is obviously a little easier to deal with than when, in some cases, the person who's struggling may want to hurt themselves, but they're also threatening other people.
That happens frequently, yes, where they either have the weapon a weapon or the ability to do it, or they threaten that they do have it, and then you're left to try to figure out if they have something or not.
Mm-hmm. It also seems that in so many cases, the person who's struggling and having the crisis seems to be asking to be punished or even to be killed by police officers. We see this scenario all the time, don't we?
We see frequently it's titled Suicide by Cop, where somebody wants to end their life, but they either don't have the means or the ability themselves to do so. So they try to put somebody else in the situation where that person has to do it for them. Mm-hmm. Again, that's where the creating the space, so that you take away a lot of the threat, using time on your side to try to work through those issues, really helps out with that. So, and then just slowing things down and trying to get inside somebody's mind and find out what the issues are. Our negotiators out there on the overcrossing did a very good job of really talking to that person and trying to get inside of his mind to help him come back to understanding that life really wasn't as bad as he thought it was at that
mm-hmm.
point.
In this case, was the man involved, was he known to the police? Had he been in the system?
We do know him for a variety of reasons. And in this case, too, and we see it a lot more frequently, is we suspect that there were drugs on board as well. Right now in California, and I'll say probably across the nation, there's the drug use is going up. We're seeing a lot more methamphetamine. It's more potent than it's been in the past. It costs less, and it's more available to folks. So when somebody goes on a run and they use too much with that or with the synthetic marijuana, they're really doing a lot of damage to their own minds, and then it projects as a mental health issue, and at sometimes they're so desperate it is a crisis situation. So, mm-hmm. and not to say that every person with mental health issue uses drugs, because that's far from the truth, mm-hmm. but that does happen on occasion. And I also want to say that we have to understand that there's varying degrees of mental health needs as well. There's people who function very well out in society that you would never know. And we try to weed our way through those if a situation comes up. Maybe it's just a bad day, and it's pretty easy to talk somebody into receiving assistance, or maybe it's just an ongoing decline that the person has gone through. So there's, if you were to plot it out on a matrix, it's all over the board where people could be. So.
You know, and I would think that the connection between mental health issues and drugs is there in part because if you already are having a mental health problem, you may try to solve that with a drug, whether it's a prescribed drug or a street drug.
Yeah, what we hear a lot from the mental health clients in the world is that many of them don't like the effects of the prescription medication, so they will turn to self-medicating. And they will try to resolve their issues through that. Those are generally unhealthy choices that they make. We prefer that they use a doctor's care and that they go down that path, because the doctor's care also offers support in other ways as well. So, and more closely monitoring mm-hmm. instead of using a substance that you buy off the street mm-hmm. And then ending up with whatever you end up with. There's no quality control.
Yeah. You mentioned the synthetic marijuana. I've heard stories or read stories here on the show about incidents, cases of that in other places and the effects it's having on people. It's not the same as the regular pot that we're used to. What's going on with that, and is it present here locally?
Oh, we have quite a bit of it here in town, yeah. And typically what you see is somebody will smoke it, and they'll either, I'll call it, overdose on it that day, or they'll cumulatively have an effect on them, and it will be just bizarre behaviors that oftentimes end up with a violent attack by that person or approach by that person toward others.
which is totally not like actual weed. The typical user does not get violent.
No, most weed smokers are going the opposite direction. So.
Get a burrito instead.
Yeah. And some Cheetos.
Yeah. Where's this stuff coming from, and why has it become popular?
It's become popular because it's not marijuana, so it's not tested for, or it doesn't show up on the tests. So people believe that they're getting high off of it. I think it's probably doing more damage than it is creating that euphoric effect. It was available in some of the stores here in town, and we're trying to address that. We continue to try to address that. But it's also brought in from, out of town. And anytime there's a market for a substance, people are going to find a way to get that substance to the market. Mm-hmm. And we see that quite a bit here in town. Yeah. So.
And, of course, the other story that we're hearing daily is about the opioid crisis across the country. To what degree is that severe in Napa?
So we do see opioid use here in town. People turn to the opioids because they were easy to get from the doctor. They're controlled. There's quality control. It gave them... in some cases, they had injuries or legitimate reasons for being prescribed. Some places, the opioids were overprescribed, which then led to addiction. And then the price gets too high. The price out on the street, and I couldn't quote what it is right now, but it's pretty expensive. So then what happens is people go to a cheaper version, which is heroin. And then the heroin currently is being cut with fentanyl. In many cases, which is having catastrophic events across the nation. So, and just want to clarify, we have to do the disclaimer here that just because we're talking about drug usage does not mean that there's a direct tie to mental health issues as well as drug usage, because the vast majority of people with mental health issues or needs or who become in a crisis are not using drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my apologies. I wandered off into
that's okay.
Other topics. We are focused on the mental health issues and how law enforcement approaches people who are having issues, and this whole taking it slower process that we saw happen last week. I'm wondering when people who have someone with a mental health issue in their family or friend connections or coworkers, whatever it might be, often are aware of that person's situation and whether they're doing well or not so well on a given day or a week. And when the crisis starts developing, how should people communicate with police about that person? Because, we see these examples where you're trying to get help for somebody, but because of the way they're behaving, when the police arrive, it becomes a confrontation.
So I would start with, and this is going to be a long answer, but then again, most of mine are. So I would start with if you're seeing a decline in the person in your family or a friend who has a mental health, either diagnosis or somebody that you suspect does, you're more, I would say, contact your insurance provider first. I know Kaiser has a very good program. There's many good programs here in Napa. You have Mentis out there that can provide assistance as well. So you don't have to go through the police to try to get that person assistance. You can also drive them down to the county building to the crisis stabilization unit and try to get them some help there. That's a 24-hour facility. So there's alternatives. If you go through the police route, which unfortunately with the negative news and negative outcomes that we typically see in the news, we don't see the successes. We see the right. Tragic outcomes. And what happens is it creates fear amongst many of the family members who have people who suffer from mental health issues. So they're apprehensive to call law enforcement early. The situation then degrades to the point where there's a violent act or a threat of violent act, and then they're left with very few alternatives. So they call us, and we go and we respond to the behaviors that we're seeing. Again, we try to use that crisis intervention team training that we've received and slow things down and create the space and eventually work toward the needs. But ours, really our focus is trying to get people to the help, get them connected voluntarily. If we can transport them down to the crisis stabilization unit and because they want to go or have a family member take them, that's a much better outcome than taking somebody on a 5150 WNI hold, which is the involuntary mental health hold. They're much more, generally much more receptive of receiving the help. And so there's alternatives out there. It troubles me that we have people out there who are afraid to call the police for help because they're afraid of what the outcome might be. And the recipe for that, it's the progression is that things then deteriorate to that point where it becomes violent. And we would prefer that it not get to that spot. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely. All right. We're talking with Police Chief Steve Potter. It's our Mentis Mindful Mondays program. We'll focus this week on law enforcement and the interaction with people struggling with mental health issues. Is Napa any different than any other communities in this problem? I mean, do we have more people who end up connecting, being contacted by police because of mental health issues, or are we just average?
I think we're probably average in the state of California. It's really, it's difficult. We have a lot of the calls that we get for folks that are in or suspected to be in mental health crisis also deal with the homeless. And because they a lot of the homeless act different, they have different values, and they behave differently, people assume that there are mental health issues behind that. And there might be, varying degrees, but just because somebody's homeless, you have to understand that sometimes that's a catastrophic illness or injury that took place, that they lost their job, they weren't able to afford their housing, and they're out on their own. It could be just a chosen lifestyle, and there's no mental health component to that. It could be mental health, it could be drug and or alcohol, could be co-occurring, but when we apply our own values in the world to other people, we typically have to come up with a reason why we believe that person makes the decisions they do. Now, we have seen an uptick in different behavior from Napa. A lot of it is from homeless from out of town. Many of them, I suspect, do have some serious mental health issues, so we try to connect them with services. I know you're familiar with Brandon Gardner, our homeless outreach worker. We also have Betty, who is from Napa County Mental Health, embedded in our department. So we do a lot of connection with services and try to either connect back with family members or get them into services to get them off the street or to get the mental health or the drug and alcohol assistance that they need to not live out in the elements.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting challenge because, you know, what is normal? Normal is what we all agree on, or the majority of us agree on, is normal. And, you know, to some people, living in their car or living in the bushes down by the river is their normal. And they may or may not be any trouble to anyone else or any, you know, causing any problems. It's just what they feel is normal for them.
Yeah, it's normal to them, and try to convince them that normal should be what I do doesn't
right.
always work. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Police Chief Steve Potter, we just have a minute or two left, and to deviate off topic again for just a moment, I asked you before we started, you're close to retirement, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's that feel?
I actually have a lot more work to do. I would term it more as changing careers at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I still want to give to the community. As you know, I was born and raised here, and I love this community. There's a lot of things that we can get involved in and we can be involved in through our entire life, and that's what my plan is.
Any specifics?
Not at this point. I've talked to several different people about, but it's been pretty busy at work, so I try to stay focused and give the community as well as the city their money's worth out of my time, and I plan on doing that until the very last day.
That sounds like the Steve Potter we all know. Yeah. And there's a lot of love that comes back towards you from the community. You know that.
It's a great community. I appreciate that. We're able to make a lot of the changes in the department and for the city that we need to make because we do have such a supportive community. Without that, if it was a battle and we didn't have the support, we wouldn't be able to make this the place that it is and make it a better place. So anyway, I don't know. One of these days I'll retire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well said.
I also would like to point out, I know you're running short on time, but we also have, with the mental health, cultural issues as well. There are different, Napa is represented with many different ethnic and racial backgrounds, and different cultures view mental health differently. And some of them are very willing to seek assistance and others aren't. So I really, my plug would be really look toward if you are apprehensive about seeking assistance, you don't have to look to the police. You can look toward Mentis. You can look toward your insurance carriers. You can look toward the county of Napa. There are a lot of alternatives that are out there, and anybody who's feeling depressed or in need of assistance, reach out early. It's a lot easier to connect you with the services that you would appreciate prior to it getting to the point where you are desperate and you're thinking bad thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Thanks for being here today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Our Mentis Mindful Mondays segment with Police Chief Steve Potter.